I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I face my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love is my beginning, and His love will be my end. And I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He has done. But the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, through it all, through it all, God's been so good.
Probably go back and forth. Right, how many of you are a little bit cold in here? Cold? Yes? Okay. It's your heart. 2 Samuel chapter 18. You walked right into it. I mean, you laid the trap, you jumped on it, and all right. I turned it up about 2 degrees. I know it's a little chilly. I saw some people behind me over there just all freezing. So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel 18. Now, this message is a little bit different here for a Sunday morning. It's not the type of message you might expect for a Sunday morning crowd, maybe more of a Sunday night, Thursday night for our church family. But I think every once in a while, a message like this would be good for everyone who comes here and sits under our services and hears our pastor speak. I want to talk today about the value of the pastor. And Pastor Myers has no idea what I'm preaching today. Almost kind of hope he doesn't watch it online. But the Bible does say some things about the leader, about the pastor, and I hope that we, as a church, would value and would appreciate and would pray for our pastor. Amen. It's a big deal. It really is. Pastor Meyer's context, he's taken on my dad's responsibilities, but he really hasn't given up many, if any, of his own. And he is one man. And so I hope we as a church will appreciate that. I just want to look at what the scripture says today. How can we, as a church, number one, remember, but number two, value and honor the man of God? And let's look here, 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. And David numbered the people that were with him, set captains of thousands and hundreds over them. David sent a third part under Joab, third part, and I'm skipping some for time, under Abishai, Joab's brother, and a third part under Ittai the Gittite. The king said unto the people, I will surely go forth myself with you. But the people answered, I want you to listen here. The king said, get my sword, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do this thing. The people said, thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, they'll not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now, here's what the people understood about their leader. That's what I want us to get here today. He said, but now thou, you, David, the leader, art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it's better that thou succor us out of the city. And the king said unto them, what seemeth best unto you, I will do. The king stood by the gate. All the people went out by hundreds and thousands. Now, in this passage, there was a battle to be fought, victories to be won. They were about to go fight. David came. David was a little bit older now. And David said this. I'm used to having the mic stands here, and when I would preach in chapel, I would grab it as a sword, but there's no more mic stands. We go all wireless. We're high tech. David said, I'm going to grab my sword, I'm going to mount my horse, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to fight with you all. In fact, I'm willing to go lead the charge. And by the way, he was willing to, and he might have been able to. He had done it many times before, but at this point in his life, the people came to him, and the people said, with all due respect, sir or sire, we know you're willing. We know you would rather. But we're not going to have you go. They said, let us do the fighting and let's have you lead as only you can lead. You do only what you can do. I'm going to develop it here and I'm going to get into it. Now, I'll say this. I know the time. And in my Sunday school class, those in my class will laugh at this. My three pages of notes have taken 5 weeks now. This morning, I have 7 pages of notes. Say, we're going to be here for an hour and a half? No, I'm hungry. All right? And so, but we'll get through what we can and hopefully get the point that we want to get across. What did these people realize? These people realized the value of their leader. They realized when he's healthy, we're healthy. When he's doing well, we as a church or we as a people are doing well. They realized also that there was a target on his back. Do you not believe there's a target on the back of the leader? There is. They said, look, honest truth is, in this battle, if you go out, who are they going after? They're going after you. They don't care about us. Now, we understand that as a Christian, we have an enemy, we have a target on our back. We understand that, but these people understood the value of their leader. Now, I grew up in a pastor's home for 24 years. I moved out, got married, worked very closely with my dad. Even recently, I wrote a 70-page thesis for something I'm working on. 25 of those pages had to do with the qualifications, the responsibilities of the pastor. With these things, I've grown in appreciation for his position. Look, every once in a while, and I'm going to get into some practical things. Every once in a while, I think as a church, it's good for us to be reminded of the value of the pastor and to appreciate who he is. Again, I was between two messages. The other message might have been a little more fun to preach. Not that we preach for fun, right? But those of you that preach, you understand. There are some messages, they're easy to preach. You can kind of rear back and just let go and have a good time and preach in God's word. And I had another message ready, but I just kept going back to this and going back to this. I think God would have me to preach this to our church. I just want us to remember three things. If as a church we remember three things, I think pastor will be taken care of better, and so will we as God's people. Let's look at this. Number one, let's remember the value of the pastor. Can I say this? As the leader of our church, our local called out assembly of believers, the pastor's valuable. Yeah. He is. And can I say this? He's not just another man in society. It's not like there's a police officer, there's a fireman, there's the clerk, there's the tax person, there's the IRS agent. I know, it's about that time, isn't it? Make sure to file. We wouldn't want them knocking on your door. But and then there's the pastor. No. I believe, and I'm going to propose, that the pastor has the highest calling in our society. Amen. To an extent, I respect the mayor's office. Let's just say I respect the office, okay? And so I respect the mayor's office, but can I say I believe the pastor has a higher calling than the mayor? Look, he might give a speech about strengthening our infrastructure and cleaning up the city, but he's not going to give us a sermon to strengthen our marriage and clean up our lives. The mayor might put police on the streets to protect us physically, but he doesn't preach messages and give counsel that protect us spiritually, which is far more important. He might sponsor community programs to help keep kids off drugs and out of the gangs, but pastor gives his life to help our children serve God and reach their potential for him. Now, you say, what about the president? It's what, 250, 300 million people in our country. Well, it depends, those that are involved in the census or if they're not. I'd say closer to 300 million. But I have respect for the president's office. Yeah. Now, I know you might have your opinion, but the Bible does say respect the office. Yeah. Pray for the office. Pray for the man that's in the office. Whatever you think about him, as Christians, we are to pray for our elected leaders. That's what the Bible says. Say, I don't like it. Well, you can take that up with God. That's not my opinion. But look, they were asked to pray for the Roman Caesars, and you know how they were. And so, I respect his office, but can I propose today that I think that the pastor has a higher office for us than the president does? Like, he might talk about draining the political swamp in Washington, but pastor teaches us how to drain the moral swamp that's damaging and ruining our homes, our families, our lives, our societies, and our country. He might give a speech about transforming the tax code, but pastor gives his life to transforming lives and marriages and families and teenagers for the glory of God. Amen. He might talk about raising the age for firearms to stem the school shootings, but the president, we understand, cannot legislate morality. It's the preacher who preaches that this carnage will only stop when families are what they are supposed to be, with a present father in the home and a loving mother that teaches morals, fear of God, and fear of authority and respect for people as made in the image of God. The president cannot sign anything that will do that. He cannot give a speech that will fix that. It's only the preacher that opens up God's word and teaches us what our homes ought to be. Once our homes are what they ought to be again in society, we'll see this stuff stop. We're not going to see it stop when we raise the age. We're not going to see it stop when we put restrictions and background checks. It's not going to happen. It's when God's men preaches God's word and God's people apply it and make a difference in this country. The president might hold a rally about the economy, and of course he's going to tout 15 times in one rally how good it's doing. I understand that. But the pastor teaches us what true wealth is. And he helps us to use our finances towards our well-being here on earth and our well-being in eternity. The president might affect the Supreme Court and install judges around the country, but the preacher helps us to get ready for the day when we will stand before the judge of all the earth and helps us to live our lives to be ready for that day. Might I say that in our context, the preacher's job is more important than the president's? You say, that's a hefty thing to say. I think of the governor's office. I know you all might have your thoughts about the governor. Governor. Yeah, I'm sure we all do. I have my personal thoughts. And for 50 cents after the service, you can line up and I'll tell you my thoughts. But I won't do it behind this sacred desk, as they say. You know, the governor has the ability to mobilize the National Guard to help in a physical or a state emergency. But the pastor mobilizes the church family, the Word of God, and structure to help us in spiritual and personal emergencies. Amen. The governor can request federal aid to help in a natural disaster, but the president helps us spiritually to get through the major storms that batter our lives. And by the way, you know what it's like when you go through the storm of your life. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's a teenager, maybe it's a troubled child, Maybe it's a relationship issue. You know that it's not calling the National Guard. You know it's not calling for federal aid. You know it's the pastor rallying God's people to get us through the storms of life. Sometimes those storms could feel harsher than Katrina. They can feel more intense than the California wildfires. And I'm glad that we have a man of God to help us through those times in our life. Might I reiterate that the office of the pastor is important and the pastor is valuable in society. Can I say this? His time is valuable. Let's as a church respect and value pastors' time. Let's do that. At the White House, and I don't mean to bring politics. Let's leave names out and let's just leave the platform in the office. How about that, okay? That way we make everybody happy. But this isn't about making everybody happy here. But at the White House, they have literally every single day, the president, Brother Ray, has 70 people who they call them servers, servants, 70 who wait on his needs. 70. Iron his clothes, clean his house, make his stuff, get things ready, make his food. 70. Why? Because they realize that they ought to be doing things that they can do so that he can do things that only he can do. And now, I'm not advocating we take volunteers and get 70 people to iron Pastor Meyer's clothes or whatnot. I'm not saying that. But I am saying as a church, we can do all that we can to value his time. Yes. To value his time. Yes. Let's be thoughtful of pastor's time. Can I say this next? His family is valuable. Do you not think that Satan would love to go after him, his wife, his children, even his grandchildren, and see them fall? I hope that we pray for his family. I do. In Scripture, how many times did God raise up a great leader and Satan got their children or their third generation? Look, let's pray. Let's pray for Pastor Meyer's family. Let's pray for his children. Let's pray for his grandchildren. His family is valuable. As a church, let's pray for his family. Let's value his family. Next, can I say this? His counsel is valuable. Look, he's been working with people for close to 40 years now. Close to 40 years. His wisdom, his aptness to look at a situation, evaluate it in light of God's word, and give counsel accordingly, that's invaluable. It really is. And two areas. Number one, behind the pulpit. You say, I've never sat down for a counseling session with Pastor Myers. Have you ever sat here on a Sunday morning when he preached? That's group counseling right there. See, I've been to group counseling. Yes, you have. Every Sunday, he opens up God's word. He gives you counsel from the word of God to help you in your life and your family. That's counsel. His counsel is invaluable. And I hope that we value it like we ought to. That's 40 years of him personally working with people. That's way longer. That's longer than I've been alive. Thank you. That's not longer than you've been alive, though. Right? Thanks. Not only this, his personal counsel is valuable. Some of us, we've asked advice and he's given advice. And by the way, I hope when we ask advice from the pastor, we heed it. I believe he hears from the Lord. Look, Brother Ray, just within the last month, I went to Pastor Meyer's office and I had some major counseling, just some, nothing bad. It was a good thing and I was seeking his advice. I wanted his heart on something just in regards to my life. And I sat down, I had 3 pages of notes. Brother Rob, I had gone to my office and probably for 2 hours, I put notes together and I was all ready to go. And I knew what I was going to say. I sat down in the office. I opened up my notes. We chit-chatted for a little bit. And right after that, Pastor Meyer says, before you say anything, he didn't know it was on my paper. He says, before you say anything, can I talk to you about something? He talks to me about something. I said, well, I guess I don't need to get to my notes. I don't know if it was spirit-led or whatnot, but his counsel, whether it's in a group setting, a church setting, or in person, it's valuable. And I hope that we heed it. You know, let's tie his time and his counsel together. If we would heed what he said behind the pulpit, we'd spend a lot less time in personal counsel, and he'll have more time to do what only he can do. Just a side note there. Next, can I say his health is valuable? His health is valuable. I know Pastor Myers. If it was up to him, if you know Pastor Myers, if it was up to him, I would not be up here today. It's not a personal thing, all right? He would rather be up here preaching. Brother Ross called him. Brother Ross said, look, no, why don't you just get some rest and shake this thing? Look, his health is valuable. And if as a church we can do whatever we can do, we'll keep things going, go soul winning, see people saved, give, do what we ought to do so that he can get healthy. If we understand that, he can better serve us and we'll be better in our lives. And so next, I got to move along. These men realize, and by the way, can I say this? Please pray for his health. Pray. And he eats well, he exercises, but sometimes things happen, and let's do what we can do. Let's pray for him. Look, these men realized the worth of their leader. They said, you're worth 10,000 of us. No, I know you'd rather fight. I know you'd rather be up here right now. I know you'd rather be running things, but no. You're going to step back. We'll take care of your lightweights, okay? We'll do things so that you can do what only you can do. Let's pray for and recognize his value. Number two, we said number one, remember the value of the pastor. Number two, remember to honor the pastor. You say, is this man worship? No, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's see what 1 Timothy says. If you would, please open 1 Timothy. What does the Bible say about we as the church honoring the pastor? If you don't mind, I'm going to go through this second point rather quickly, so that I could get to the third point, because I think that's what Pastor Myers would want us to talk about maybe a little more this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, let the elders, that would be the pastors, leaders in the church, that rule or lead well, be counted worthy of double, what's that next word? What's the next word? Honor. He says, let the elders that lead or rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially. So if he's a good leader, honor him. He says, especially honor this kind of leader, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Five words stick out to me here today. I'll go through it quickly. The first one, and keep your Bible open. Let's look here. The first one is the word rule. We already said that. He says, look, if you have a leader that rules well or that leads well, honor him. And might I propose here, Brother Ray, we know this. Our pastor rules well. He does. He really does. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but he has to prepare 6 messages every week. He has to run between 3 and 5 staff meetings every single week. To keep everything going and to keep his personal walk with God and keep everything going, he leads well. But let's look further. Look here. Honor. What does honor mean? Honor is esteem or dignity given towards something or some things that are precious, of price, of value, or valuable. I remember when I bought my engagement ring. This is going close to 10 years now. We're getting old. Some of you, it's been a lot longer than that, so that doesn't mean you're older, okay? This was personal. I remember when I was going to get engaged, and we went to some beach, we were walking, I was waiting for the sunset. You know how it is, you get all mushy about it, you want it to be perfect and stuff. And then afterwards, we mature, right? It's not mushy anymore, it's just mature, whatever. So I was there, and I had the engagement ring. I remember. And that thing cost a pretty penny. Kid you not, when I told my dad how much it cost, he said, who gave you permission to spend that much on that? While I was walking, you know what I did? Every few minutes, I gotta make sure it's still there, right? And even though no one had slipped their hand in my pocket, no one had opened the box, the ring box, you know what I kept doing? Pulling it out, making sure it was still there. Why? It was something of great price, something valuable that I was going to use for something even more valuable. So I honored it. I took care of it. I didn't just toss it around. I didn't just treat it like, let's look at another one. Well, before I go, you remember when you first brought your baby home, the first one? I mean, you had like special bumpers all around your car. You had those car seats that have the memory foam all around. Now, maybe if it was 20 years ago, you said, no, we didn't have that stuff. We just tossed them in the trunk. But I remember the first one, and I remember that when I first put her in the car seat, like, you know, you got to make sure it's in the middle, in the back, you know, face the right way, snug, buckled it. And I remember driving so carefully. You know, normally I just drive one hand over there. I mean, I had two hands. I said, what'd they teach us in driving school? 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock or something. 11 o'clock, 3 o'clock, something like that. You know, you're driving well. You're looking. You're like, that guy can't drive. And I'm all mad at these other people. What if I was right there? Oh, why? Because of how valuable that baby was. Now, some of you, it's your third and fourth and sixth and seventh one. You just kind of toss them in the back. You're like, ah, they won't move around. Put a blanket around them. I know I don't have a car seat. It's out of date, but it is what it is. That new car, right? No, you can't drink water in my new car. No, you know, you can't do this. You can't do that. But if we're not careful, why? Because we recognize the value. A new house, new carpet. We just put new flooring at our house. You know how it is. Take your shoes off. Right? Don't walk on there with your shoes because you might get a scuff on it. It's a floor. It's supposed to have scuffs on it. But you know how it is. But if we're not careful with a new car, new house, whatever it is, after a while, we forget about its value. Now, might I mention this? The office of the pastor, the leader, he should not ever lose value just because he's been with us for a long time. I remember when my dad first got sick and Pastor Myers came in and to us, like, man, we're so blessed to have somebody that can fill the pulpit, keep his responsibilities going, keep Pastor's responsibilities going. It's been 4 years now. I hope that we remember to continue to give him the honor that he deserves as the man of God. Amen. You do. You give your comments from right there, right? Okay, thank you. Next, I see the word labor, and I already mentioned this. If he rules well, we ought to honor him. But if he rules well and he labors in the word and in doctrine, he ought to be given double honor, the Bible says. Can I say this? Have you ever listened to Pastor Myers' messages? He gets into, he studies, he breaks down, he dissects the word of God. He puts the cookie on the bottom shelf and he lays it out for us to take and to apply to our lives. And I mentioned this, putting together labor. Labor means to feel fatigue. By implication, to work hard, to be toil, to be weary. I wrote this down. Pastor Myers does 6 messages a week. Now, sometime soon here, I think we might get together, Brother Ray, and say, you know what? Cut that down a little bit. But 6 times a week, 3 staff meetings. That's not counting devotions he gives and all these little nuggets that he gives us during the week and during staff meetings and when we're personally in his office. He labors in the word and doctrine. And if we have an elder that rules well in the word and in doctrine, he's worthy of double honor. The next word I see here, I'm going to move quickly. Got about 5 minutes left. Is if you have it open there, you see the word corn. Not calling him an ox, but there's a parallel here, okay? An ox was a picture of something valuable that got things done for you. Someone that worked hard. And he said, look, if the ox is plowing and working, and you drop some corn, and he's hungry, and he wants to eat the corn, don't cover up his mouth so that you can go pick it up, clean it off, and have it for, you know, corn on the cob or elotes or whatever you do. He says, don't do that. Is it if while he's working, there's something that he needs, a basic physical need, do not withhold that from him. That's what I think of, whether it's basic needs of rest, basic needs of time away. Maybe it's a basic physical need that we as a church can do something to be a blessing to. The Bible says, do not muzzle the ox, be a blessing to, care for the pastor's basic physical, emotional, spiritual needs. Maybe we can think and pray and see how we can do that even more. Yep. Next, reward. The next word is reward. He's worthy of his reward. We ought to pay back. The reward. The word reward is paying back for what we get. How can I do that? Can I say this? We ought to appreciate him. You know, a note goes a long way. Yeah. And I know we don't write notes anymore. Send a text. You say, I don't even know where to get note cards anymore. I know, we're all techie, millennials, new generation. Send a quick text or an email. Can I say this? Appreciate him for what he's done. Let's remember his special days. Whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, something like that. We can reward. Here's another way we can reward him. You know, a reward for a pastor is when we're faithful. What better reward for him to come up here and see faithful people in their spots, week in, week out, going soul winning, giving, tithing, doing what we ought, just faithful, faithful. We can reward him by following what he preaches. Oh my. First one was amen, the next one's oh me, right? Next, we can reward him by being a part of what he's leading our church to do. And number three, and I'm done. Number three, here it is. Remember his value, remember his honor. And number three, let's remember the heart of our pastor. Let's go to Philippians 1:27. I have one verse, a couple points, and a couple thoughts, and we'll go. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I think it's ironic that Pastor Myers used this verse for this time in our church. Look what it says here. It says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent. He said, whether I'm here or whether I'm not here, here's my heart. That's what Paul said. This is what Pastor Myers said. That's why he picked that. That I may hear of your affairs, that ye, here it is, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. See, what's the point? Look, Pastor Myers might be taking a little bit of time off for a couple weeks, and he wouldn't probably if it was his choice, but kind of making him. But whether he's here today, whether he's not here, let me tell you his heart. I know his heart because he picked that verse, he picked that theme, and it's right there. It's that we as a church would continue with one mind to be steadfast, unmovable, going forward for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what it is. That's his heart. And I want to ask us as a church, let's remember not just his value, not just his honor, but let's remember his heart. Let's have his heart for the lost. Look, every one of us, it's not hard. I don't have them. This is horrible. Bad example. I always carry tracks. Can I get one, Brother Ray? While we're out and about, we can take these to work. We can take these to lunch. We can take these to the store. We can take them out and about. It's not hard. Hey, I just want to give you an invitation to our Easter service. By the way, on the back there, it shows you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven when you die. That's not very hard. Every one of us can do that. I promise you. Pastor Myers is not preaching today, but I can give you his heart that every one of us would share the gospel. Yep. That every one of us would hand out tracts. That every one of us together as one man with one mind, steadfast as a church, go out there and be willing to go out for the furtherance of the gospel. I like what Brother John said. Brother John Castle, somewhere around here, he said, man, everywhere I go, I pass these things out. When I'm doing tile, when I'm at lunch, when I'm at the stores, everywhere I go. And he's asking Brother Ray, can I get a stack? Brother Ray said, grab even more. And he did that. By the way, right out there in the back, the track rack, grab some on the way out. Next week, we have Super Saturday soul winning. Oh my, here's a commercial break. Super Saturday Easter door knocking, right? Let's have a big crowd. We're not going to let Pastor Myers come. He might ask. We're going to say, no, you can't. You're not going to be. He's not going to be here. But we can be. We can be. Look, I would love to send Brother Myers a text. Well, I'll let Brother Ross do it because we're not texting or emailing right now. Look, can you send him a text and show him? We had the biggest crowd we've ever had on a Saturday to go out and get invitations out for our Easter service. Man, that'd be great. Man, that'd be great. And so it's easy to say, yeah, amen, I can carry tracks. Let's be here. Maybe not as many amens. But look, seriously, let's have his heart for souls. Amen. Next, we can be involved in personally sharing our faith. Next, let's have his heart for faithfulness. Let's be in God's house. Let's be faithful to church. Next, we can be faithful to giving. Faithful to giving. We can be faithful to serving. Look, if you serve in the nursery, and I'm almost done, 2 minutes left. Whether it's the nursery, Sunday school, parking, bus route, let's be there. Let's be there in our place. Next, let's have his heart. You knew this was coming. Let's have his heart for the building. Yep. Let's have his heart for the building. Look, let's get this thing done. Amen. Seriously. Wouldn't it be nice next year at this time to be in phase one? Wouldn't it be nice? Now, how's that going to happen? It's going to happen when we as God's people strive together, stand fast with one spirit for the faith of the gospel. It's going to be when we together sacrifice and give together. Amen. Let's do that. Let's work together. Let's finish together. And so in closing, when we do these things, it's good for Pastor. Pleases the Lord. It's good for us. A couple things as I close. Please, as a church, let's pray for Pastor. Amen. Let's pray for him. I believe that prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Look, if you didn't believe that, you probably wouldn't be in God's house this morning. So if we believe it, let's act like we do. And throughout the week, let's make sure that Pastor Myers' name is coming from our lips to the Lord. Let's pray for Pastor Myers. Next, and his family. Next, let's remember how valuable he is as a leader. Next, let's honor him and his office. If he labors in the word, he's to be honored, and by the way, honored, and he does. Then next, and finally, Let's have his heart. I lied. I said one verse. I have one more verse, then we'll pray. When we're going to vote on Pastor Myers becoming pastor next week. Okay? And if you remember, I hope you'll be here. When Joshua came in after Moses, Moses, great leader, Joshua came in. He was going to lead them forward. They're going to have victories. They were going to go to the promised land. It was going to be good. They had a great future ahead of them. Joshua was coming in. God said this. He said, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Here it is. This is what God said. God said, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. What's the point? As we vote Pastor Myers in to be pastor, I want to ask us as a people, let's pray for him. Let's have his heart. Let's honor him. And let's encourage him as we go forward and see the victories that God wants us to see and to reach our potential for the Lord. Thank you so much for being here. Let's stand and let's pray.